Hi, Saul. I'll let you go, and I won't come up and bang on the door, but you want me to come back when, you know, you have about 45 minutes.
45, okay.
And so don't wait for me to bang on the door. Just come out when you're done, and I'll try to be up here about that time.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, we'll take the picture first.
Oh, swell.
Thank you.
So what year are you two?
We're freshmen.
Freshmen, yeah.
Oh, you are?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Braden Stanley is my grandson, and he's living in Stallnaker now as a freshman.
Okay. Could you fill these four lines and then the lines down below? Did you say it was? Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So what would you like to know?
Okay. All right. Today is November 9th, 2011. My name is Bethany Jackson, and we are here today in Cole's Library with Lyle Simpson. Where were you born and raised?
Here in Des Moines.
In Des Moines, okay. And where did you attend high school?
East High School here in Des Moines.
Okay. How did you decide on Drake?
Interesting question. I had a friend of our family who was an attorney, and I was always impressed with what he was capable of accomplishing in life. And so when I decided that I would consider going to law school, it made sense for me to go to Drake because I paid my own way through college, and I didn't have to pay for room and board that way, and could continue working. I had a pretty fair job at that time. And so, anyway, it just seemed like a good logical choice.
Mm-hmm.
My brother had gone to Grandview, and I grew up right near Grandview, and decided I didn't want to do what he was doing, and so Drake was it.
What do you remember about moving into your residence hall?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I stayed at home.
That's right. Okay.
I take that back. When I was a junior, I was a dorm counselor in Harriet Dorm. And so then I did live in the dormitory, but by then I was fairly well established on campus.
What do you remember about your first class at Drake?
My first class?
Yeah.
Well, the first class that made a significant impression on me, two classes actually, but was biology. I didn't want to take biology. I didn't want to cut up a cat. I had taken chemistry and physics in high school and thought for being a lawyer I really didn't need any more science, but they insisted I had to have a science course, and since I hadn't had biology, I was directed to take that. It turned out to be probably the best course I ever took at Drake. I actually learned more in that class that I've used since than probably anything else I've ever done, and I've been here at Drake for 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel you were prepared for Drake when you came here?
That's a hard question. To be honest, I'd have to probably say no. In the first place, East High isn't known for sending people to college. It's a terminal degree for many people over there, and they didn't have the same level of college preparation in those days that they would have had, for instance, at Roosevelt High School here in Des Moines. And so, no, I don't know that I felt, I certainly didn't feel superior to anybody.
Mm-hmm. What events did you attend while you were at Drake that were memorable to you?
Oh, good heavens. That's like, where do you start?
Just one that you first think of?
When I graduated as a senior, I was president of the student body at Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And that probably was the best learning experience that I'd had. I was also president of my fraternity at that time. And even how I got there to be president of the student body, it's kind of a lengthy story, but all of those things are memorable to me now and have made a big difference in my lifetime. I was more involved in student activities than probably any other freshman on campus at the end of my freshman year, because I joined Alpha Tau Omega fraternity that's no longer on campus, ATO. They were very active in campus activities, and I was one of the only freshmen in my class they were sure was making grades, and so they got me involved in all kinds of activities. Well, we went, in those days in fraternities, we had what's called Hell Week, and I went through Hell Week, and I upset a few of the seniors, and so I got depledged at the night before activation. And that really upset me, because I was... I'd used the fraternity a lot. I went there for lunch, and that was my primary activity on campus that gave me a sense of being a student living on campus at Drake. And so to lose that was kind of a shock to my system. I decided that I was going to prove to those so-and-sos that I was equal or better than they were, and that's probably what motivated me to become president of the student body. And I remember standing in the window of the dorm social area that they had on my floor, looking out at the quadrangle and thinking, well, I proved to those bastards I'm as good as they are. And then I got to thinking, well, you know, they're not even here anymore. They could care less, but... Point is, it was a significant motivating factor.
Mm-hmm.
The next year, I wanted to take a girl out on skip day, and of course, fraternities were the ones having parties, and so some friends of mine were in the teak house, and so they invited me to come along, and I brought my date to the house, and some active thought I was there to pledge, and he came down and put a pledge pin on me, and I thought, well, I don't want to muff my date up. I'm not going to argue with him right now. I'll give it back to him the next week when they have pledge meeting or something. Anyway, in the meantime, I met two or three fellows that have become lifetime friends of mine since, and so I decided, well, I'd go through another pledge ship. And I wound up being president of that house then my senior year.
Very cool. What kind of entertainment was there on campus besides kind of your... the activities that you mentioned? Was there anything...
kind of entertainment?
Mm-hmm. Just for students?
Well, the fraternity, of course, had all kinds of entertainment, and that probably was essentially, from an entertainment perspective, what I was involved in. I worked all the time I was in school, probably 20 hours a week. I was the engineer for what's called Super Value stores at that time, designing Super Value and Doll stores all through the state, and it's the way I paid for going to college. Plus, my father had a small Super Value store on the east side of Des Moines, and on weekends, I would still sack groceries for him or whatever to, you know, support the family. But so I didn't have that much time for any other kind of an activity. Most of my dating was involved then around the fraternity.
Was there a curfew on campus?
Yes.
Yes.
You had to have the girls in lockup in the dorms at 10 o'clock, I think. And the fact that the grandmother of my grandson was a Stahlnegger resident at that point in time. And I'd always have to bring her back and make sure she was in before that, because they locked the doors, and if she wasn't in there, then she had some real trouble.
I bet.
But now the fact that he's living on the second floor of Stahlnegger, and I can simply walk up there, and half the floor are girls, I thought, man, what, I was born too early.
Was there a dress code for you guys?
Yes. First place, we had to wear beanies as freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought some of those things were kind of neat at that point in time, because at least you felt a part of the university. And then when I became part of the Student Faculty Council, the student governing body, we had sweaters that we wore that had the symbol of the student governing body on them. And of course, I had a Drake jacket. Everybody had to let people know you're from Drake. Now, in law school, we even had to wear suits. They don't do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I had not intended necessarily to go to Drake's law school, because I thought as president of student body, I should get off campus, and so I was going to go to Iowa's law school. But late April, early May, my senior year, I just dropped my girlfriend off and had gone back to the fraternity, because since I was president of the fraternity, I lived in the fraternity then next year. And I hear on the news that there was a riot on Drake's campus, and so I came back to the campus and I found, my God, what had happened is the quadrangle between Harriet and Carpenter and Crawford and used to have a reflecting pond underneath the bridge as they go across there. And some girl in Crawford had thrown out a wastebasket out of her window, and the guys had filled that up with water out of the reflecting pond and were throwing it back into the girls in the dorm. And it was a nice Sunday evening, and it was the first time we had real nice warm weather. And they thought that was entertainment for the evening. Well, somebody called the police, and this policeman comes out on the catwalk between Stahlnegger and Crawford and throws tear gas in the middle of the crowd of guys. Boy, that erupted. Guys got in the girls' dorm. The next thing I know, that we had fellows on the fourth floor of Crawford with fire hoses picking firemen off the street who were shooting fire hoses back at them, and it made national news. The net result is the Dean of Students and Dean of Men both quit. When I got back on campus, the Dean of Women was here, Marge Cunningham, and she and I dispersed the crowd and got people to get out of there and go home. But meantime, some of our guys got locked up in jail, and spent the next week trying to deal with the administration in terms of how we handled this kind of a problem. And interestingly enough, Henry Harmon was president of the university at that time, and Dr. Harmon, he could manage one thing at a time, but two things was kind of overwhelming. And so even though I'd been president of student body for a year, he didn't know me from a load of hay, even though I'd spoken on the same platform with him a half a dozen times. His wife knew me, but he didn't. I kid his son about that now all the time, because his name is Henry Harmon also, and he was a lawyer here in Des Moines and a good friend. Anyway, that was a huge ordeal. And so the new Dean of Students that was hired then hired me to be Assistant Dean of Students for 2 years, to be his assistant, because he hadn't hired a Dean of Men yet. And so I did that for a couple of years. And nice thing about it is I had an office in Illinois Hall, and that was just a block from law school, and so while doing that, then I went to Drake's Law School.
What do you remember about your graduation ceremony?
Well, I remember that my parents couldn't be there because my brother, who was 5 years older than I, graduated within a half hour of me up in Hamlin in Minneapolis. And I thought, since I'm going to go to law school, they can come to that one, and they should go see him because he may not graduate again. And after all, he spent 10 years getting there, and I did it in 4. But it was down in the old field house at that point in time, and not a lot of space for anybody, including the class. But that was they had an assembly over the university church prior to graduation where they gave out awards and where we tapped people for Omicron Delta Kappa, and I got an award, the Ornie Scott Award it's called, which turned out to be a huge dictionary that I couldn't carry, and a trophy that I still have. And somebody had invited my parents to be there because they knew that I was receiving this, I guess. And I got that in the College of Arts and Science, then Liberal Arts at that time, gave out Class of 1915 Award, and I got for campus leadership, and I got both of those. And so my parents got to come and see that, and that was special. I remember it was a rainy day, but they could care less. They were real excited. And I still have those awards.
You mentioned that you have made some lifelong friends from Drake. How, I don't know, who have you stayed in touch with them? Do you guys meet regularly? Or?
Yes, all of the above. My pledge father in the fraternity that I met, a fellow named Jack Strobel, I introduced to my first cousin. We were a month apart in age, and they got married and have now had 50 years of marriage. And we get together for about half a week, at least once a year, and have done that for ever since. He was president of the Teak House when I pledged. And another friend who was my predecessor as president of the Teak House was a teacher here at Roosevelt High School. And we see each other every couple of months anyway. We'll at least go out and have dinner together or whatever. And we've traveled together. We've owned a travel agency together, in fact. But in fact, we've traveled to Israel and Egypt and Italy together for 2 weeks each time. And we've owned a home in Lake of the Ozarks together. We've just been very close.
What, after you graduated law school, what did you do after that then?
This person who had been a very close family friend, a fellow named Don Swanson here in Des Moines. In fact, he and his wife Margaret are my parents' closest friends. And from grade school on, I had adopted them as surrogate parents in a way. I became a part of his firm. And there were 4 of us then, but we each one had our own independent practices. And it was over on the east side of Des Moines, over in East 9th and Grand, right underneath what's now the Wallace office building, the one with the gold glass on it that's facing toward the Capitol. Anyway, our office sat right underneath that. After about a year of pretty primitive existence in that office, actually, another lawyer on the east side died, and his partner hired me to go down and help close up 130 open probate files that lawyer had. And that was a pretty nice office. And so I got the idea, let's merge these two together, and we'll be a big fish in a small pond over in the east side of Des Moines. And so I went back and I talked this Don Swanson into merging with Don Beving, and we formed the law firm that's still known as Beving and Swanson.